It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? So glad that you've joined us today. We're in the book of Revelation, Revelation chapter 6, and we're going to finish up just on a couple of verses and then get right on into chapter 7. And so please let me have you turn to Revelation chapter 6. We're going to read verse 16 and 17 and then on into the 7th chapter. While you're looking that up, I'd like to share with you that this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located over in Hamilton, Illinois at 18th and Church Street. We're just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. If you would like to write to us, our mailing address is Post Office Box 43, Hamilton, Illinois, 62341, and that would be Parkview Bible Church. Again, Post Office Box 43, Hamilton, Illinois, 62341. Phone here at the church is 217-847-2717. If you would like to send us an email, you'll do that through parkviewbible@gmail.com. If you would like to visit our website, and we have many, many verses, many scripture studies on that site, as well as our Constitution is there, and the Plan of Salvation is written and audio both. And you'll find that at www.parkviewbiblechurch.org. Hope that was enough time now for you to open your Bibles and prepare for the study. And again, we'll begin reading Revelation chapter 6. And we're going to read at the 16th verse to begin with. And said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us, hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? And after these things, I saw four angels standing on the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth, that the wind should not blow on the earth, nor on the sea, nor on any tree. And I saw another angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living God. And he cried with a loud voice to the four angels to whom was given to hurt the earth and the sea, saying, hurt not the earth, neither the sea, nor the trees, till we have sealed the servants of our God in their foreheads. And I heard the number of them which were sealed, and there were sealed 144,000 of all the tribes of the children of Israel. Of the tribe of Judah were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Reuben were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Gad were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Asher were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Naphtali were sealed 12,000. The tribe of Manasseh were sealed 12,000. The tribe of Simeon were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Levi were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Issachar were sealed 12,000. The tribe of Zebulun were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Joseph were sealed 12,000. And of the tribe of Benjamin were sealed 12,000. Now we're going to just end with those verses of Scripture that we have read. And please, we'll just enjoy beginning with prayer. Father, we thank and praise you today that we can come and enjoy this time. I just ask that you'll guide and lead us. Show us your way and will and your strength. And we just ask, dear Father, for your power and your wisdom. I ask that as we look through this horrible time here upon earth, there are going to be seven years of tribulation, 7 years of the most awful, and especially the last 3.5 of that seven. And it's a time that no one needs to see, because if they would just believe with their heart and come to the Lord Jesus Christ, call upon him for salvation, they can miss this. They do not have to go through this time. So please, dear Lord, you just show your wisdom and show to all that you are their Savior, and salvation can be theirs if they'll just believe in you. And grow each and every one of us, Father, today. I just thank you for this wonderful opportunity to come and study your precious word together with these folks. Now please guide and lead us, and I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. as we looked in this past study that we have had, we have some most horrible things that happened during the opening of this sixth seal. And it just seems that the whole earth is falling apart. The earthquake literally just shakes all the earth, not just a section of it like an earthquake will do, and not just a region as we see today, but the whole earth. And we find that the sun becomes black as sackcloth, as hair, and the moon becomes as blood, and the stars of the heaven fell upon the earth as the fig tree casteth her untimely figs when she is shaken of a mighty wind. We find that the heavens departed as a scroll when it is rolled together, and every mountain and island were moved out of their places. And the kings of the earth, and the great men, and the rich men, and the chief captains, and the mighty men, and every bondman and every free man hide themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains, and said to the mountains and to the rocks, fall on us, hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne, and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? As we looked at those verses of Scripture last time we were together, we find that whether it's kings or great men or rulers or captain or bondmen, free millionaires, the poorest, the white, black, red, yellow, all men will beg God to cover them and hide them from the face of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God. God's a loving God. And that's what most people portray today. Yes, he is a loving God because he sent his son, the Lord Jesus, to die on the cross that we can live. But if you reject his plan, his way, then you have no hope. The great day of his wrath is come. Who shall be able to stand? And that's a tremendous statement and question. This doesn't sound much like the preachers of today, as they continue to seem to put out such a social gospel and do not tell the truth. We know that God is a God of love, yes, because he sent his son. God's a merciful God, but God is a consuming fire. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 29. We need to look at some verses of Scripture, and we're going to begin today with some Old Testament scriptures. Three are Old Testament, and then the one will be the New Testament in Matthew. And so let's look at Joel chapter 2, verses 30 and 31. Joel chapter 2, verse 30 and 31. Now, here is something that was written and spoken and recorded some almost 3,000 years ago. And yet look at how accurate it is. I will show wonders in the heavens and in the earth, blood and fire and pillars of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and terrible day of the Lord come. How accurate are those verses? Go with me back now to Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 13. Isaiah chapter 13. We're going to read the 9th and 10th verse. Behold, the day of the Lord cometh, cruel both with wrath and fierce anger, to lay the land desolate, and he shall destroy the sinners thereof out of it. For the stars of heaven and the constellations thereof shall not give their light. The sun shall be darkened in his going forth, and the moon shall not cause her light to shine. Isaiah 34:4. all the hosts of heaven shall be dissolved. The heavens shall be rolled together as a scroll, and all their hosts shall fall down, as the leaf falleth off from the vine, and as a falling fig from the fig tree." That was Joel chapter 2, verse 30 and 31, Isaiah chapter 13, verses 9 and 10, Isaiah chapter 34, verse 4, and now we're going to go to the New Testament, to Matthew chapter 24, the 29th verse. You see, this isn't something that's just new found in the book of Revelation. Our God has been warning and telling people about this for centuries. Matthew chapter 24, verse 29. "Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken." When this judgment comes, God is real, and all will know it. There will not be one person that will not recognize the power and the strength of God. They have missed the saving power of God, and now they're experiencing the judgment of God, and they will recognize it and recognize who is bringing it. The people will run for their lives and hide anywhere, everywhere. They'll call upon the rocks and the mountains to fall on them. "Hide me," they will cry, instead of repenting and turning to God and accepting His mercy. Amos chapter 4, verse 12 has quite a statement, "Prepare to meet thy God." And that's what's going to happen. That's the way it's going to be. Prepare to meet thy God. Why won't they just call upon Him? Why won't they trust in Him as His Savior? Why won't they say, as Romans tells us, "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Whosoever confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath saved him from the dead shall be saved." Please, so many beautiful verses of Scripture that we have, and we need to look at them and see them. And let me go to Romans chapter 10, and we'll read it word for word for you, so I don't misrepresent it in any way. Romans chapter 10. And I'm just going to begin with verse 8. Romans chapter 10, verse 8. "But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart, that is the word of faith which we preach, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the Scripture saith, Whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord is over all, is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Confess with thy mouth and believe in thine heart." Have you done that? Please, I beg you to take care of that today. Don't miss that today. We come to the next chapter now, because that 17th verse says, "For the great day of his wrath is come, who shall be able to stand?" And now verse 1 of chapter 7 says, "And after these things I saw four angels standing in the four corners of the earth." What happened to the seventh seal? Where's the seventh seal? Well, if you look ahead, you will find the seventh seal. over in the eighth chapter. And when he had opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven about the space of a half an hour. And so we have the seventh seal a chapter away. Right now we're going to take a look at this seventh chapter. It's kind of an interlude before the last scene. In the sixth chapter, we have been given an overview of the events, the tragic events that will come during the seven-year tribulation. The Holy Spirit indwells all believers, the church. That's now. This is during the church age, and that's the age we're in right now. This is what the Holy Spirit was called to do, was to indwell the believers. At the same time, the presence of the Holy Spirit also restrains evil. The very presence of the Holy Spirit here, on this earth now, is restraining, is holding back evil. These two responsibilities, or these two jobs that the Holy Spirit possesses now, will both leave during this tribulation period, this seven-year period. We think evil is bad now. You just wait till the Holy Spirit turns it loose. I've asked the question from time to time through this study, and that is, once the Holy Spirit leaves, how does someone get saved? How can they get saved? Can they get saved during the tribulation period with the absence of the Spirit as it is today? We need the Word. All need as well the Holy Spirit. Men cannot get saved just because there is nothing that would have them to call upon the Lord for salvation. We're so wicked. There has to be an outside power show us who we are and direct us to the Savior. And that work is the work of the Holy Spirit. That power is the Holy Spirit to do that. And he does that through the Word of God. The clearer the Word is given, proclaimed, the better. And that's the reason that we keep the Word of God so clear and so simple. It is so important that we make it clear. However, the very creation that God has created shows man the need of salvation and the way to it. God's Word, the truth, can come in many directions, but the Holy Spirit must be the one applying it. And so if they're in an area or in a region where there are no Bibles, there are no preachers, then creation itself can direct a person to salvation, to the Lord Jesus. And the Holy Spirit can do that. Now, it's so important that you don't miss that, because today people think they can get saved whenever they want to, and that's not true. It has to be by the calling of the Holy Spirit. And there is just a period of time to do that. This loosing of the evils of the world, we have got a picture of that as we watch the opening of the first six seals. And now that we come to the seventh chapter, before the opening of the seventh seal, We witness something here, and I want you to really see what we're looking at. There are four angels, we see, and after these things I saw four angels standing on the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth, that the wind should not blow on the earth. The four angels hold the four winds. As we look at the second and third verse, just let's go ahead and read those. I saw another angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living God, and he cried with a loud voice to the four angels to whom it was given to hurt the earth and the sea, saying, Hurt not the earth, neither the sea, nor the trees, till we have sealed the servants of our God in their foreheads. So you see, these winds are winds of judgment. And if you look at Psalms 148, verse 8, it says, Fire and hail, and snow and vapors, stormy winds fulfilling His word. It's coming. These winds of judgment are being held back. And what purpose could that have in holding this judgment back? It has one purpose and only one purpose, because judgment will be carried out in its completeness, fully. One reason is so more folks will get saved. Multitudes will follow after the Antichrist and still continue to reject the Christ, even though they recognize that God is the one that's pouring out this judgment, these judgments. However, they'll still reject it. That's the evilness of the heart. Why would anyone today reject the Holy Spirit, reject the opportunity of salvation, to be free from their sin? Why would anyone do that? An opportunity to hold and possess the gain wisdom from God and to have joy and peace in their heart. Why would anyone reject that? And yet multitudes do. There will be a great number saved at this time. How will they get saved? There's nothing but evil here. How will they get saved? We find in verse 2 that another angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living God, and it says in verse 3, hurt not the earth. Hurt not the earth. And it tells us that no hurt will come until these servants are sealed, these certain servants. And then we get the opportunity to see the list of them as we look down through the next verses. We find it to total 144,000, 12,000 in every tribe. Each one are sealed. They are, when I say tribe, I without question mean the nation of Israel, the tribe of the family of Israel, and there were 12 sons, and those 12 sons became 12 tribes, and God has taken from there. During this time, He has recollected those separate families, and He has called out and sealed 12,000 in each of those tribes, and we had those listed here: Judah, Reuben, Gad, Asher, Naphtali, Manasseh, Simeon, Levi, Issachar, Zebulun, Joseph, and Benjamin. And so you'll see that we have 12 listed there. But as we look now, we find that these 12 are commissioned, sealed and commissioned, and or are ordained to preach the gospel of the kingdom. The kingdom is coming. Matthew 24:14, this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. And then shall the end come. God knows all. You know, people say that the Jews are so mixed up and so scattered around the world that this cannot be done. God can do it. This will not take place until the tribulation. We are in the church age now. Next event will be the rapture of the church to go home to be with the Lord in heaven and to enjoy the marriage supper of the Lamb. During that time is when this tribulation will take place. Now we are in the age or the time of grace. We are not the age of the preaching of the kingdom. This is not the day of the King. It will come. This is the day of the Savior, our Lord Jesus Christ. As we looked once again between the 4th and the 8th verse, the 144,000 will be gifted, they'll be empowered, equal to the 120 on the day of Pentecost. They will be able to preach the kingdom in, literally, its coming. There will be not one language that will not have a complete and full and clear understanding of this preaching of the kingdom, the coming of the kingdom. Please come by faith to Jesus because the kingdom comes. And they will preach with the greatest power. Every tribe, every kindred on the face of the earth who have never heard the gospel of the grace of God will hear it. I believe that anyone that heard the gospel prior to the tribulation period will not have an opportunity of salvation. But there will be multitudes that will have never heard the gospel. Now, why do we spend so much time and effort in getting the gospel message out to all the world now? Because I want you to avoid this tribulation time, this tribulation period. And you can avoid that. You can miss that if you'll just come by faith to Jesus today. We know that those that refuse the message, that this 144,000, 12,000 from each tribe, we know those that refuse that message will be damned. The unpardonable sin after the rapture will be the mark of the beast, 666. So during the tribulation period, now today it means nothing, but during that time period, the mark of the beast, 666, will seal your fate. You are damned to hell, to the lake of fire. There's going to be 144,000 sealed. And no matter what that old devil tries to do, he cannot and will not be able to destroy them. The 12 tribes that are listed here, you'll find to be just a little bit different than the 12 tribes that are listed when you leave Egypt back in the book of Exodus. The difference is we do have Levi listed here. And when it gets to dividing the land, now when they left Egypt, Levi is recorded. But when they arrive to the promised land with Joshua and they begin to divide the land, we find that one is not listed, and that's Joseph. Because Ephraim and Manasseh, they are the two sons of Joseph. And so Joseph actually gets two portions because of the things that Joseph had done in service to God when he was in Egypt and in second command under the Pharaoh. God blessed that, and he gave them a double portion. And so Ephraim and Manasseh. But you'll notice now that Joseph is listed down in verse 8. Another one that did not have any land was the tribe of Levi. And they are listed here as well. And we see Manasseh. Now, we don't see Ephraim, but we see Manasseh. We see Joseph, and we see all the rest except for Dan. We're missing Dan. Back in Deuteronomy 29:18 through 21, clearly states that if you go after and serve after other gods, I will remove you. Dan did, and Dan was. It's been quite a study today. I hope that you realize that judgment is coming. I hope that you have called upon the Lord Jesus for your salvation and avoid this time. If not, please do so today. My dear friend, what are you going to do about Jesus?